And here at 8 o'clock here this morning, we have for you here mostly clear skies, sunshine here this morning, and still at 10 degrees as your temperature here in the Nishna Valley. We look for a high today of around 36 degrees with southeast winds at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. In local news, a single vehicle rollover accident on Friday afternoon in Page County resulted in the death of a man from Coyne. The Iowa State Patrol says 24-year-old Brian Scott Hall died from his injuries that he suffered in the crash, located about 2 miles east of College Springs. Hall was driving a 1999 Chevy Blazer that went out of control as the vehicle was traveling west on 290th Street at around 4 p.m. The SUV left the road, hit a utility pole, and rolled once before coming to rest. Officials say Hull was not wearing a seatbelt and died at the scene. Adams County Sheriff's Office reports two people were arrested Friday night. 30-year-old Richard Buchanan Riley of Creston was arrested during a traffic stop at around 9:40 p.m. Buchanan Riley faces charges of driving while suspended and no proof of insurance. His bond was set at $1,040. And at around 6:50 p.m. Friday, Adams County Sheriff's deputies arrested 25-year-old Jesse B. Fitzwater of Villisca for allegedly violating the terms of his probation. Fitzwater was being held in the Adams County Jail without bond. Montgomery County Sheriff's Office reports the arrest late Friday night of two Red Oak residents. Officials say 21-year-old Aaron L. Malo was taken into custody just before midnight on charge of OWI first offense. At about the same time, 18-year-old Kelsey M. Adams of Red Oak was arrested on a charge of possession of alcohol by a person under the age of 21. Adams was released on a citation while Merlot was being held in the Montgomery County Jail on $1,000 bond. Authorities in Audubon County said Friday that a Carroll man who was wanted on a warrant issued back in June of 2009 was arrested Wednesday by officers with the Audubon Police Department. 28-year-old Anthony John Lasatz was wanted on a bench warrant issued for failure to appear on a May 2009 first offense OWI charge. Lasatz pled guilty Thursday to an additional charge of providing false information to authorities after attempting to give law enforcement officers a false name to avoid prosecution. His bond on the failure to appear charge was set at $2,000. Lasatz was being held in the Audubon County Jail and was ordered to appear in court on Monday. The American Red Cross was assisting a rural Villisca family in finding a place to stay following a residential structure fire Friday morning. According to Montgomery County Emergency Management Coordinator Brian Hammond, his office assisted the Villisca Fire and EMS at 104 North 5th Street after fire crews were paid shortly after 9:35 a.m. Hammond says once the initial units arrived on scene, they found a two-story dwelling with heavy fire throughout the structure. Mutual aid was requested from Stanton Fire for additional manpower. The American Red Cross was called to provide support for the homeowners and additional rehabilitation for the firefighters. Hammond said he appreciates all the agencies that helped out at the fire scene Friday morning and wants to thank the Villisca Foods for providing food for the firefighters. A Des Moines legislator is backing a bill requiring all Iowa school districts to test for the cancer-causing gas radon and make buildings safe if the gas is found. Democratic Senator Matt McCoy filed the bill this week, saying it's needed to protect students. The bill is similar to national legislation filed recently by Iowa Congressman Bruce Braley. The bill would require all public and non-public districts to test every room of each school. If high levels of radon are found, districts would need to have ventilation systems installed to make buildings safe. Radon is a colorless, odorless gas that leaks through cracks in building foundations. It's the second leading cause of lung cancer in the United States. All of Iowa's 99 counties lie in the government's highest risk zone. Two finalists for the job of University of Northern Iowa president are scheduled to appear on campus next week. The Des Moines Register reported Friday that William Rude, president of Shippensburg University of Pennsylvania, is expected to attend a public forum on campus at 3 p.m. Monday. Then on Wednesday, Avijit Ghosh, a business professor and senior advisor to the University of Illinois, is scheduled to have a public forum at 2 p.m. Wednesday. Both events will be held at the Marker Union and the UNI campus. The final candidate will visit the campus in early February. The UNI President's Search Committee says the next president would be announced on February 7th. Current UNI President Benjamin Allen is retiring this summer. He became the university's ninth president in 2006. Three Iowa hotels, including one found in Council Bluffs, are being honored by a National Motor Club, making the Four Diamond list for 2013. Gail Weinholzer, spokeswoman for AAA Iowa, says it's a rare designation. Weinholzer says the hotels have to jump through a series of high hoops to compete for the honor. Weinholzer says the owners of the three hotels should be proud of their special recognition. You can learn more about the Four Diamond list at AAA.com. A Republican lawmaker was backed by the parents of slain children as he called for the reinstatement of Iowa's death penalty. Senator Kent Sorensen announced on Friday that he would introduce a measure that would establish capital punishment for the first time since the 1960s. The death penalty would be limited to people convicted of first-degree murder in which a victim was kidnapped or sexually abused, or if the victim was a child. Among those standing with Sorensen were Heather and Drew Collins, whose daughter Elizabeth was killed after disappearing last July with her cousin Lyric Cook. Sorensen says he'll also propose four other measures dealing with kidnapping and sex offense convictions. The chairman of a Senate panel says he won't consider the bill, but Sorensen says he'll seek public hearings. Southwest Iowa Transit Agency Director Steve Anderson reacted on Friday to a report from Auditor of State David Vaught with regard to a special investigation of the Southwest Iowa Transit Agency based in Atlantic. A special investigation was requested by the Office of Public Transit and the DOT as a result of concerns regarding Anderson's compliance with reporting requirements. Anderson told KJN News that SWTA welcomes Vaught's findings and have already implemented methods to correct reporting procedures to the DOT. He says many of the changes were made in advance of the report, which he received on Thursday morning. The report covers the period of July 1, 2011 through June 30, 2012. Vaught reported the special investigation identified 8,901 charter riders which were improperly included as public riders on the quarterly charter reports submitted to the DOT by SWTA, which does not comply with the Code of Federal Regulations. Because charter services were not properly reported to DOT in fiscal year 2012, SWTA could potentially receive funding in fiscal year 2014, which the agency is not entitled to if the charter riders are not adjusted. The audit report also identifies $300 of improper disbursements for the payment of golf registration fees for employees of the Southwest Iowa Planning Council. Anderson says the funds were for two drivers and two office personnel, including himself, to participate in a fundraiser for the Cass County Memorial Hospital Foundation. The report includes recommendations to strengthen the DOT's internal controls and overall operations, and it makes recommendations to strengthen SWTA's internal controls and overall operations. Anderson said he takes full responsibility for any discrepancies in the report and that he will work to ensure that those errors don't happen again. Copies of the report have been filed with the Iowa Department of Transportation for a consultation with the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Federal Transit Administration. A copy of the report is available for review in the Office of Auditor of State and on the Auditor of State's website. You can go to auditor.iowa.gov, and the full link there, the rest of that link can be found on this story on our website at kjn.com. And now taking a look here this morning at world headlines here for you this hour. A message claiming to be from the hacker activist group Anonymous says they've infiltrated several government computer systems and copied secret information that they now threaten to make public. The message was on the hijacked website of the U.S. Sentencing Commission. The group says it's to avenge the death of Aaron Swartz, an activist who committed suicide. The website appears to have now been taken down. Education Secretary Arne Duncan is joining a rally for gun control today on the National Mall. So will residents from Newtown, Connecticut, along with parents, pastors, and survivors of gun violence. The group 1 Million Moms for Gun Control, the Washington National Cathedral, and two other churches are co-sponsoring the march. France says French and Malian troops have taken control of an area around the airport and a key bridge in Gao, an Islamist stronghold in northern Mali. The French defense minister says the jihadist fighters saw their names of transport and their logistics sites destroyed. The Al-Qaeda-linked Islamists first seized control of Gao and two other provincial capitals last April in the chaotic aftermath of a coup in the distant capital. Search crews say no one could have survived the crash of a plane carrying three Canadians in Antarctica. Helicopters have found the wreckage but were not able to land at the site. Crews say the wreckage is on a very steep slope near the summit of a mountain and it's not possible to land there. The new force behind Star Wars comes from The Final Frontier. The Walt Disney Company issued a statement last night confirming reports that had been circulating for 2 days that J.J. Abrams, Emmy Award-winning creator of TV's Lost and director of 2009 Star Trek movie, has been pegged to direct the seventh installment of the Star Wars franchise. Now taking a look here at your funeral announcements here this morning. Arlene Stem Stevenson, age 102, of Arlington, Texas, died on Saturday at the Green Oaks Senior Care Center in Arlington, Texas. Funeral services for Arlene Stem Stevenson will be held today, 10 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Menlo. Johnson Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Jane Claver, age 77, of Harlan, died Monday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A mass of Christian burial for Jane Claver will be held on Saturday at 10:30 a.m. in the St. Mary of the Assumption Catholic Church in Panama. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Visitation will be held, has already been held, actually, yesterday. Jim Cady, age 98, of Coon Rapids, died January 19th at the Thomas Rest Haven in Coon Rapids. Funeral services for Jim Cady will be held today at 11 a.m. at the First Christian Church in Coon Rapids. Odie Funeral Home in Coon Rapids has the arrangements. Lois Hill, age 91, of Manning, died Tuesday at the St. Anthony Hospital in Carroll. Funeral services for Lois Hill will be held today at 2 p.m. at the First Presbyterian Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Sharon K. Blott, age 64, of Elkhorn and formerly of Avoca, died Wednesday at the Salem Lutheran Home. Funeral services for Sharon Blott will be held Monday at 11 a.m. at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Irene Sterrett, age 96, of Audubon, died Monday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. A memorial service for Irene Sterrett will be held Monday at 1:30 p.m. at the Friendship Home. And Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Clifford Welker, age 75, of Stewart, died Wednesday at the Kavanaugh House in Des Moines. Funeral services for Clifford Welker will be held Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Stewart Congregational Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Marvin J. Sorensen, age 89, of Exira, died Friday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Marvin J. Sorensen will be held Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. at the Exira Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Bill Antisdale, age 55, of Rural Anita, died Friday at the Fairview Hospital in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Funeral services for Bill Antisdale are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. And Cindy Kohler, age 60, of Greenfield, died on Friday at her home in Greenfield. Funeral services for Cindy Kohler are currently pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements this 8 o'clock hour on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.